Welcome to False Bottom Girls, a podcast about the wonderful yet sometimes confusing world of beer and brewing.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hudson, owner of Pilot Brewing and an advanced cicerone.
Hi, I'm Jen Blair, sensory expert, homebrewer, and advanced cicerone. So, Rachel.
So welcome, everyone.
Welcome. I wait to say that until you're in the middle of a stretch.
Oh, I've been stretching all morning. I can't get it out. I don't know why.
Good. Good. Shake it all out.
Shake it. Shake it.
Listen, we're here. We're warmed up. We're stretched out. We haven't recorded a podcast in ages.
A bit.
Weeks.
A bit.
But we're back, baby.
That's right.
And I hope that you all enjoyed our bonus episodes that we released for you while we were gone. So we, for our Patreon subscribers, we did not do a good job of providing you all monthly bonus episodes. If you're part of the Patreon, you know that we've already sent you messaging surrounding that. But we decided, since we were going to take the month of May off from recording because we were both very busy, that we would just release a couple of those episodes. So that's why if you listen to those episodes and it was like, this is just for Patreon subscribers. Just it's not. Kidding. It was at one point, and we decided to release two of our favorite bonus episodes, one being our interview with Keith Fia, the other being our style deep dive on Belgian Golden Strong Ale. So we're back with fresh podcasts.
Yes.
Much like the fresh.
Fresh content. Fresh content.
Examples.
And I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, this is a really good one.
We get asked a lot about commercial, you know, if you're studying for Cicerone, you know that commercial examples are part of that test. Depending on what level of testing you're taking, it might be a few questions to knowing like one big commercial example for each style, to being able to name six commercial examples from three different countries for each style. Five different countries. Fun. That's fun. Is that new? That sounds new. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just been a minute.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever stated an opinion on the usefulness of having to memorize five examples from three different countries. So yeah, I think this is, and this is also, you know, just even beyond Cicerone, when you're wanting to learn about beer, I remember when I was starting to kind of go down the path, especially for craft beer. And for me, craft beer also kind of includes like imported beer. I hadn't had very much like Belgian beer, right?
Yeah.
And I understand that that's not craft beer per the definition of like American
craft. It's not American craft, yeah.
But for me, like I started that journey of kind of craft is different from macro lagers.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So even if, you know, you're not doing Cicerone, but you just want to learn more about beer, tasting commercial examples is an excellent way to do that. And like Rachel said, if you are taking a Cicerone exam, you do need to know commercial examples. And, you know, I don't know if, to me, I think the five commercial examples from three different countries, all of that, to me, that's a little gatekeepy. And full disclosure, if you all didn't know when you're listening to this, I do work for Cicerone. I have voiced these same things at work. I'm a real joy to be around, but arguably as the, you know, the latest staff member to go through the program and also achieve Master Cicerone status, I have a lot of opinions still fresh in my mind about that. But I do think, I think I've talked about this on here too. You know, the second time I took Master, I missed it by 2 points. And if I had taken the time to learn commercial examples, I would have passed the second time. Actually, if I had taken the time to learn commercial examples, I probably would have passed the first time because I got an 80 the first time. And that was a really hard pill to swallow. But for me, the way that I reframed it was, it is important as a beer professional to know who the notable producers are, you know, to know like,
yes,
what is the beer style that created that beer style? Like, what's the brand? Like Pilsner Urquell created Czech Pilsner, right? And so once I reframed it that way, that became a lot more useful to me because there were things that I learned that, you know, like Hopback Summer Lightning is the brand that made British Golden Ale a style. So, those are useful things to understand. And once I reframed it that way, I had a much easier time learning. I still didn't learn five examples from three different countries. I have never seen a question, and I'm saying this not as Jen the employee, but as Jen the exam taker. I've never seen a question that's like, name five different commercial examples from three different countries for, Belgian Golden Strong. Like, that
No.
just, you're not asked that. But I do think it's useful. For me, I approached it as knowing who the notable producers are, knowing who the American producer was for stuff like British Brown Ale or, wheat beer or something like that.
Yeah, it's also framed around the BJCP guidelines too, right? So like the Brewers Judge Certification Program, their set of guidelines is, they say that these are the Belgian beers. And if you go to Belgium, that is a different story over there with the small Belgian producers. They are like, yes, of course there's a triple, a double and stuff like that, but there's a whole other set of styles because Belgian brewers don't really do styles. They're like, this is my brown 6% beer, so that's something just to keep in mind, like when you're looking at for commercial examples and you're Googling, BJCP comes up, the Brewers Association website comes up for guidelines because that's a set of guidelines for competition that happens every year. Although similar can be somewhat different sometimes when you're trying to figure out if you are trying to like create a list per se of styles for studying reasons or curiosity reasons. It can be a little bit of a challenge sometimes because some web resources out there aren't the most up to date.
Right. And
So that.
also for me, it's kind of like beer recipe websites where, stuff like, and I know we've got like Beer Advocate on here, Rate Beer was another one. Those are pretty good places. And I know we'll get to that about how we can utilize those, but they're not up to date and they're also user generated. So that's, it's like
It's true.
there's not any one official place you can go to find commercial examples. But on the flip side of that, another thing that I encourage people to do is, take your BJCP guidelines app, go out someplace, order their wheat beer, order their hazy IPA, open up the guidelines and sit there and compare the beer to the guidelines, because the commercial examples listed in the BJCP guidelines are that's not exhaustive. And they don't say that it is exhaustive. Those are like, these are kind of the best examples. But that doesn't mean that, Pilot's wheat beer isn't a commercial example.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Just because it's not on that list. Oh, that list is not end all be all for by any means.
And I'll say one thing when we're talking about commercial examples. So we're talking about brands that exemplify the style. And for me, one thing that I found extremely confusing until actually after the first time I took the Advanced Cicerone was that Cicerone uses commercial examples in a different context that BJCP does. So when Cicerone is asking you for commercial examples, they're not expecting you to only name the commercial examples listed in BJCP.
Oh, yeah.
For purposes of Cicerone, commercial example is any beer that is for sale anywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
That
It
can
could
be
be a small
found,
batch, big
yes.
batch. It could
Yeah. And
be a one-off.
if you can find it by Googling,
Yes.
that's fine. And that's, kind of from my point of view now as working for Cicerone, that onus of kind of verifying the beer is on the grader and is not on the candidate
Exactly.
to name something that everybody's familiar with. So it is possible to come in and say, Pilot's Gosa is a commercial example,
Oh,
and it is a
100%.
commercial example.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Like we're like doing this whole episode on how to find commercial examples, and someone would be like, what do you mean? They're all listed in the BJCP. No, incorrect. That is correct. And you're thinking, yes, there are some there, but that's not enough. And if you are needing more than three or four, sometimes that's definitely not enough.
Right.
know?
And it's funny because I say GOSA specifically because I remember the first time I took the advanced exam, being in Ray's office, that was one of the beers that he asked me about. He asked me for a commercial example. I gave him one from Germany. He said, "Can you name one not from Germany?" And this was still when I was thinking that commercial examples meant commercial examples in the BJCP guidelines. And in my head, I was like, all of the commercial examples listed in the BJCP guidelines are German. And so I was like, no, I can't. And like in my head, I was like, well, yeah, there's Westbrook Gosa, but that's not in the guidelines, so that must not be a commercial example.
Oh, no. They yeah, we definitely there's that's just BJCP is just one resource when it comes to looking up commercial examples.
That's an
And
excellent way to say that.
yeah, and there's other resources too, some better than others. And that's kind of what this episode is about, is how to figure out the best resource. Because if you don't know the difference in some what used to be or what is combined, then that can be really confusing. So, I mean, a couple really good resources that I have kind of listed out are one, brewery websites. Shouldn't go wrong there. Really shouldn't go wrong there. If it's on the website about what the style is, that is the ultimate trusted source right there.
Right. Yes. And again, if you can find it in a simple internet search, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a simple internet search. I have done some pretty long digging to like give
Verify
cannabis
something.
the benefit of the doubt that this is a beer that exists. And it takes, from my point of view, if I can't find something, I usually ask somebody else to see if they can find it before I say this doesn't exist.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, and then other than that, of course, the actual bottles and the can labels, those are trusted resources about the style. Now, some might say something that doesn't fall into a BJCP style. And like that's okay, because remember, BJCP styles are just a set of guidelines made up by a set of people to do beer competitions with, right? So just like the Brewers Association is. An example of that might be like some of these, American wild ale with three different Brettes and five different fruits and five different hops. And you're like,
From
what
five
is that?
different countries.
But yeah. And you're like, what is this? Like, that's not obviously like a double bock or something, right? That's not obviously. Yeah, there are some like American fruited sour wild categories, stuff like that. But it doesn't mean it's not going to mean it's like necessarily easy to distinguish, if that makes sense. That's a little off the rail, I think. But my point is, you can definitely trust, like, these are some good resources. And like, that's just one way of like learning names. And then that's not even necessarily about trying them, right? So like learning the name and describing them are two different things too. And as you get take higher levels of Cicerone testing, it's not going to be good enough to just spew out five different commercial examples. You might have to like write full flavor profiles, descriptions about them. So that's really the difference between memorizing and knowing right there, right? And just because you can memorize all these stats and all these names of these beers doesn't mean you can describe them fully. Like I have gone through that myself of taking this test, being like, okay, it's give me five names and like write full flavor descriptions. So I'm like, fuck, I can know some names, but I think I've only really tried like one of these beers. And I know what it tastes like. And maybe I can like, I mean, I know what the style is supposed to taste like, but it doesn't mean you actually know. Hefeweizen is a very great example of this, German Hefeweizen, because some of them can be very isoamyl acetate forward, that banana. Some of them can be very clove 4VP, 4VG, sorry, forward, that clove spicy character. Those are very different profiles. And if you are going to sit there and write, well, Weihenstephaner Hefeweizen tastes like a banana, it doesn't. So that is important to know at that point. That I mean, that could, mess you up if or if you're testing on it, obviously lose some points.
Right. And I would say too, and that I Weissbier is an excellent example of that. And every time we talk about this, Rachel, I'm like, I really need to go buy a bunch of Weissbiers and taste them because I don't know which one is which. Like, and I, but I know that they're all different. But the other thing too is, you know, like let's say you get a question about like barrel aging, and this is usually like level two and up. You know, you'll need to name like three different commercial examples that are three different base beers and also from three different barrels. And with those specifically, it is worth figuring or finding the information, or if you can, being able to actually taste it, because you will be asked to describe those. And I know I've gotten feedback before that it's like, you know, once I wrote about Noda Brewing Gorgeous, which is their pumpkin beer. And, you know, I wrote this big description about pumpkin beer. And I think I said something like cinnamon and nutmeg or something like that. And the feedback I got was Noda specifically says that there's no cinnamon or nutmeg in this. And, you know, so it's like I went to the website, I'm like, God damn it. They do say that. So that's kind of a giveaway that I'm just bullshitting on, you know, on this beer. So I would say particularly for those, and I know Rachel, you'd said you'd done this before with like the American Sour Beers book, using the descriptions in there for those beers, you know, if they're talking about like Russian River Supplication or something like that. So there are resources that you can get to understand what the specific flavor profiles are. But I would say, especially for those kind of specialty beers like barrel aging, fruit beers, spice beers, you need to know
Wood
that's,
age versus barrel. I have been asked that. They were like, not, no spirit, no alcohol, just wood. And I was like, you motherfucker. I wasn't ready for that.
Right. So, like those, I would say, you know, for most of the styles, it's worth knowing like who's the notable producer, who's the notable American producer. But for the ones that are like, you know, a base beer and then something else, make sure you understand what those actual flavor profiles are, not just generally what the BJCP guidelines say.
Yeah, I'd say some really great examples of some of those beers to know by flavor, not just like looking up. Like you're right, like Allagash, Curio might have a beautiful description on their website of what, memorize that. That is good stuff. But know what Sierra Nevada Pale tastes like. You can get that anywhere.
You can get it pretty fresh anywhere too, which is important.
In the United States, I guess I should say. Oh, maybe not.
You can get it pretty fresh worldwide, actually.
True. Pilsner Urquell, Guinness, Duvel, like know these beers. There are a few beers, like Jen said, the notable examples of the style. Know those beers.
Right. Saison DuPont.
Saison DuPont's a great example.
Hoegaarden. Garden. Allagash White.
What else? I mean, even like American IPA, like Bell's Two Hearted, is a great example that you could get a really, well, a lot of places. Off the top of my head, I just want to be able to throw some stuff out there. That's really why Kona Blonde, I think, is a good one that is pretty
That's another one
nationally
that's
worldwide.
internationally available. And yeah, and I agree. I think there are some that, you know, and like I would say yes, start at the BJCP guidelines, because there hasn't, I haven't seen an example in the BJCP guidelines where I'm like, that's not right.
No. Yeah, I agree with you.
Those are, that is a great place to start. And like you said, there are some styles internationally that are available. Guinness, Kona, Sierra Nevada, you know, all of those. I think there's a lot of the Belgian beers that you can get pretty fresh internationally. And those are the ones that are important to know. Like, you should have West Mall Triple. West Mall Triple is the one that made Triple a thing,
Exactly.
right? You should have Chimay Double. You should have Saison DuPont.
Left hand milk
And
stout is a great one.
yeah, exactly. So those are like the ones that kind of make the style. Just, and those, that's just good to know. And this isn't, we're not saying this to teach to the test as a
No.
beer person. These are kind of fundamental beer styles to understand, because take like Guinness Draft, right? Irish Stout. There are a lot of other styles that build off of Irish Stout. You have Irish Extra Stout, you have, you know, Oatmeal Stout, Sweet Stout, Foreign Export Stout, Tropical Stout. All of those, you know, like if you understand what an Irish Stout tastes like, then it's going to make it much easier to decide or to discern, is this an Irish stout? Is this an Irish extra stout? So those building blocks in your palate are important.
And so we have our big set of styles that we know, like we, these are big beers that you can find, but what do you do, when you get down to things that you want to try to hone in on, like a dark mild or a wheat heavy, these things aren't all, not all the time so easy to find, beer de garde. And I really think that's where your micro craft brewery kind of comes into play. Like go seek out these styles that, 'cause we, the small batch brewery is a thing now. It is like people are not opening up the big production facility, at least like they should not be, in my opinion.
Right.
But like do the small thing, just like small mom and pops, we're gonna have the small one-off breweries. And this is where you're gonna start to find maybe not good examples, but maybe great examples at the same time
Right.
of a
But
dark
even,
mild.
yeah, and if it's not a good example, you know that because you've got your guidelines pulled out.
Exactly.
And you can say, this is, I don't think this is a good example
Yeah.
because this dark mild is roasty, or I get alcohol heat from it,
Exactly. And make
something
sure
like
to tell
that.
the bartender and the brewer. Just kidding. Don't do
As somebody who has been sitting at the bar at Pilot while
that.
homebrew guy next to me drinks one of my beers and continues to interrupt the conversation I'm having with my friend to show me the
Yeah.
BJCP guidelines and tell me why he thinks my Grodzicki is not to style.
Didn't
Yeah,
that beer?
people love that.
I was pretty sure that beer won a medal. Pretty sure that beer won
yeah,
a
that
medal.
beer won a few medals.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
Sure
a
did.
few. Sorry.
But, homebrew guy didn't think it was the style. So,
Yeah.
what a piece of shit
So
I
take these beers to go. Do it at home.
am.
Don't do it there. No, but it's a great way to learn. Like,
Or I would also say, this isn't, I mean, this is kind of in the same vein as going to like a very small batch brewery, but learn to home brew. I did that when I was studying for master. I brewed an Irish stout, a Scottish export, and it wasn't a dark mild, but it was other, some kind of obscure English beer and or beer style, or obscure for us to be able to find, right? And so I just got like,
yeah.
here's a Guinness recipe, here's a Scottish export recipe. And I use like Golden Promise, like I used all Scottish ingredients, and just do that. Or
Yeah.
if you're not a home brewer, you can still get Golden Promise, you still get probably like EKG or whatever, and do hot steeps and hop teas, so you can at least learn a little bit about those profiles. So you do have other options available.
Yeah. Which we could totally do like a whole other episode on. Again, a whole another episode. But if you can't homebrew, there's always local homebrew clubs, maybe, typically in your area.
Yeah, because I get asked this a lot, how do I study for style discrimination? How do I study commercial examples? So I have a few different ways. I will do a plug here on my personal website under the genfluence.beer. I have a beer style comparison chart that I made while I was studying for the advanced Cicerone. And so that's why, if you look at this comparison chart, there are four beer style examples. So for certified Cicerone, you're given two choices. Is it this beer? Is it that beer? For advanced, you're given four choices. And I kind of put the list together from the BJCP study guide. So if you get the BJCP study guide, which is available on their website, for the written exam, you have to do, like a three style comparison. You have to do something similar for the Master Cicerone exam as well. Tell me the difference between, I don't know, Belgian Blonde Ale, Trappist Single, and
American Blonde.
American Blonde.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you do, you have to write a comparison. So the BJCP has that chart of, but it's three beer styles. So I just kind of took that chart and sort of, moved things around. I've updated it as the new guidelines have come out. But what I would do is I would take that chart and I would give the chart to my husband. So this is if you have somebody else who can buy the beer for you. And I've got, if you're buying it on your own, I've got you covered too. Give me a second, I'm getting there. But we would go to someplace like Total Wine, and if I had something in mind that I wanted to study, then I may be like, hey, like I'm having trouble with saison and triple. Could you maybe do a panel about that? Could you maybe get me a panel of stouts? But other times I would just say, okay, like just mix six pack. You've got the list of the beer styles. And we would either do it where he would get, let's say that the beer style comparisons were American IPA, double IPA, Belgian IPA, and strong bitter, something like that, right? So he could either get one of each of those four and then give it to me and say, okay, here are your choices. Or he would get a double IPA and say, okay, your choices are American IPA, double IPA, you know, and like do it more realistic to what you would have like on the advanced Cicerone exam. So then I, you know, I could do it that way. If you're studying on your own, you can follow that exact same pattern, right? And it's a little bit harder to do it on your own because obviously when you're like you're pouring beers, you can see what the head looks like. You know, if you've got like, you know, Guinness is going to have a white head. If you know, if you've got an Imperial Stout, it's going to have that tan head, which you would know anyway when you're doing that evaluation. But you know, if when you're pouring the beer,
Oh,
you
no, it makes a difference for sure.
yeah, and it can be kind of hard to like turn that off in your mind. But what I would do is take like a piece of painter's tape or something, write on the bottom of a cup what it is, and then you can pour the beers and you know, like close your eyes and like kind of three card Monte your examples and then do it. I don't like, I've completely changed my mind about using black opaque cups for blind tasting, and I'm not saying use black opaque cups, but you can if you've got black opaque cups. Or you just have, you know, like styrofoam cups or something, put your plastic cup or, you know, your sample glass in the styrofoam cup, pour the beer in there and label the bottom of your styrofoam cup, you know, and then you can like move it around too. So it'll kind of obscure what you've poured into what cup. And that's a way you can do it by yourself. Like best case scenario, you've got somebody who can pour them for you. The other thing that I've done, if let's say Rachel and I both want to do a blind tasting together, is I would take a set of, you know, like sample glasses from Beer Fest that have the different colored logos on them, right? So I would pour the beers into those glasses. I would make a note about what beers I poured into what glasses. And then Rachel could come in, take those glasses, pour them into other glasses, write down what beers she poured into glasses. And then we can both do the blind tasting. And then, you know, at the end, kind of be like, okay, the one in the red cup, that's Duvel. And, you know, Rachel can be like, okay, well, red cup, I put, you know, cup C in that. And it's like, okay, that was Duvel. So you can kind of reverse engineer. So those are some ways you can do it on your own or be able to do it with a group. So that way, you know, it's kind of
That
blind
way
for
everyone can
everybody.
do it, yeah.
Right.
Or you just, make your husband do it for you, which is my favorite
Right.
and your favorite.
And yeah, and I
Well,
mean I'll be honest,
it's the
I've
easiest.
also yeah, and I've also done this for other people before.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, like I'm not saying you like don't ask me to do it for you all the
Oh
time,
no.
but you know, like if you're local to me, I'll totally do that. And you know, that's just a, you know, there's ways that you can do that to where you're tasting blind. Another thing, since we're on the topic of just like studying commercial examples, tasting them, one of the things that I did at first when I was doing like consistent blind tastings is if I did a blind tasting of four beers, like we would just drink the rest of the beer, right? Because I didn't want to throw it away. And, you know, I know other people are like, you're going to
That's a great
waste
way
all
to know a beer.
right. But, you know, after you sit down, you've done like the thoughtful blind tasting, then you're just drinking the rest of the beer to drink it. So I would also suggest investing in like bottle stoppers. And you can also buy can covers that will seal cans. I started doing that with Master because, you know, I was like, I cannot, if I'm doing like two blind tastings a day, we're not going to be drinking eight beers on a Monday,
No, no,
right?
no.
So then we could, you know, if it was a bottle, put a bottle stopper in it. If it was a can, put the little can saver on it. And, you know, your beer's not going to stay like super fresh, but if you're studying over like 4 days or something, it's going to be fine. And as you taste more, you're able to account for the loss in carbonation, stuff like that. And then you're also getting a lot more uses out of those
Yeah.
beers. You
You
know,
could
you can
also
use
cook
that
with it
Sierra
too.
Nevada Pale Ale 4 times.
Yeah. And then you could cook with it also if you want
Fair.
to not waste, to help not waste.
Right. Because, yeah,
And
like I said, that's, you know, for a while it was like, okay, well, all of these beers are open, so we'll just drink all these beers because we don't want them to go bad. And it was like, okay,
no, I have dumped
this
a
is
lot of
not good.
beers.
And now I'm much more just like, okay, I just dumped the beer. Like,
Yeah.
but it is hard because, you
You
know,
chalk it
buying
up
the
to
shit
us.
is expensive
Yeah,
and
I
it's
know.
hard to literally pour money down the drain.
Oh, I know. You have to kind of chalk it up to studying, I guess. Another great thing, a great way though, is to get your hand on some like expensive commercial examples are like try to go to some bottle shares if you can.
Oh, yeah.
Because typically that's when people want to bring out the best of their best and weird stuff. So you can try that mixed fermentation with three different types of fruit, you know, and have that commercial, you know, you're more likely to remember a few of those than if you just try to remember some descriptions
Yeah.
or memorize. So you'll remember that experience too. You know, you go to a bottle share, you have to drink responsibly. You know, you might get drunk, but if you remember two beers out of that, fuck it. That's
Yeah.
great. Like,
And I will say one thing that I like a core Cicerone study memory for me was when I lived in Charlotte. I was getting ready to retake my certified tasting exam. And Joe Vogelbacher from Sugar Creek was getting ready to take the advanced, like the first round of advanced exams. So something that Sugar Creek did, which I really, really loved, and this doesn't have to be a brewery, this can be you and your friends, is everybody, they had a night where you showed up with some kind of beer, any style of beer, and like you gave it to the bartender, put it in a paper bag. And then we were all just like hanging out in the event room. And the bartender would pour a beer, somebody's beer from, you know, from the paper bag and pass it out. And then like as a group, we would taste and we would kind of, you know, like Joe had his own like sheet that he would fill out for, you know, like basically like a score sheet, like a BJCP score sheet, like that, or like the deductive beer tasting grid. And, you know, we would all kind of fill this out and then we would discuss and we would, you know, try to figure out what kind of beer style it was. And that was really great too, because it was,
yeah.
you know, it was pretty relaxed. Everybody was on equal footing in terms of nobody, you know, like you knew
Yeah.
what beer you brought, but
Sure.
you didn't know what beer everybody else brought. And you didn't know, you know, when you got your beers, like, is this my beer? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody
It's
else brought it,
fans.
you know, or yeah. So that's also a really great way if you have like a study group or something like that to, you know, to be able to just get some studying and like, hey, everybody bring a commercial example. We'll put it in brown bags. Somebody will pour it, whatever. So there are a
Yeah.
lot of ways to, you know, blindly taste these for studying purposes. Another thing I will say about, particularly about buying commercial examples, is you get, especially with some of the more obscure styles, a lot of the imports, you get a very good education on all the ways that beer can be oxidized.
Oh yeah.
All the ways beer can be
Oh
old and
yeah.
mishandled. I call that total wine terroir.
Yeah.
And you know, and I get most of my studying beers at Total Wine because that's what's closest to me. But you do get an education in all the ways that beer can be old. And the other part of that though is that it's, you know, like it may not be exactly to style because it's old, but you're still learning something.
Yeah.
Right. You're still learning how beer can taste oxidized, and you can still pick up some of those core flavors. Like, even if Guinness is old, it's still going to be roasty.
Yeah. Yeah,
Right.
exactly. No, it's still just because it's not old and the fre or not the freshest doesn't mean you shouldn't study it. It
Right.
just sucks that you have to, it's another level of discerning about the beer. You have to know about the style, but
You have to
if you
kind of
get a,
correct for
yeah,
oxidation.
especially these are European styles. I mean,
Yeah.
they're going through a long process to get over here. So It's the reality of it. And so, and it can lead to, like, when you, if you are able to travel and go to some of those places, you will taste the difference in the freshness. Like,
Oh man, Rachel, that first
off-brow
beer we had.
dunkel. Can't never forget. Oh my God. Side note, I had at the judging in Africa, which next episodes, tune in. One of the judges had that same experience. He was like, he's like, I go, he, I guess he judges at European Beer Star. And he's like, every year I do my little, I do this path at all, some of the breweries, and I go to different breweries for different reasons. And Hofbräu has the best dunkel. And I was like, yes, it does. And I was like, let me tell you, the first time, and you, Jen was there, we had a sip of that beer and we were like, oh my
This is
God,
it.
this is exactly what it's supposed to taste like. And it's beautiful. And it was delicious. And that's the moment I knew I was gonna, Munich was my favorite city ever.
Well,
It
and you
was
know,
like
I
the
remember one time doing a blind tasting of different triples. And you know, it was like Westmalle, you know, a lot of Belgian ones, and then I think I had like New Belgium and then also Allagash. And when I got to, I think it was the Allagash sample, I was like, this is the American version. And you know, Tom was like, well, how do you know? And I was like, because this tastes like it's like an interpretation of this. This tastes like a knockoff of this. And the Allagash triple is a beautiful beer. That is an awesome beer, but just going through and tasting a blind, I was like, these two are the US versions because these taste like an adaptation of the other ones.
I totally know what you mean. And only because we are so into this journey, that is something that comes with. But let's switch over tracks just a little bit and talk about like just some questionable resources so people know, or at least what I think are questionable. I think Beer Advocate website, all I think that could be rough on you for, they have some really great sets of style examples or commercial examples, and then some are not so great. So the problem with this is that they don't have the same set, exact set of beer styles as like BJCP. They actually most recently pulled from the 2008 Brewers Association guidelines. So I don't know if anyone even really updates this anymore.
I mean, I think Beer Advocate's kind of,
I think they're done. But
yeah, I
it's like
think it's
one of the
kind of
things that,
sunsetting.
yeah, it's like one of the things that first pops up when you want to like Google something. So it's, I think it's important to talk about, but just some examples, like for, you know, Russian Imperial Stout is a category. If you want to know about Imperial Stouts, it doesn't matter if it's from Russia or not. You can definitely go look at that
Right. Well, and it's usually not
category.
from Russia.
Yeah, exactly.
It's,
Yeah,
yeah,
that
Russian
too.
Imperial Stout is a
That's
UK.
too. And that's just like a Russian Imperial Stouts can be made anywhere. Like a but BJCP doesn't have a Russian Imperial Stout category.
They
So if
used to, and then
they
they
used
changed it
to.
to Imperial Stout. So
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
important with like Imperial Stout, it's important, I think, to know UK versions and US
Oh,
versions.
for sure, for sure. I'm just saying, like, just pointing out that it's basically the same. You can
Yeah,
go
no,
to
it is the
that.
same. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
like
just
you can go there. You don't have to be
nomenclature.
confused about the word Russian.
Right.
I think Imperial Red Ale is a good example. That is,
American Strong Ale.
it's American Strong Ale in BJCP. But if you don't
Which,
know that,
right, American Strong Ale is also just an Imperial Red Ale.
yeah,
Like
exactly.
that's it's and like I'm not sure, and I'm not sure because I haven't looked. It used to be in the BJCP guidelines also as Imperial Red Ale, and then it changed to American Strong Ale. I think just to make American Strong Ale kind of like British Strong Ale, like it's just sort of a catch-all
Yeah,
for
exactly. For
things.
high ABV
Right. Something that doesn't really
ales,
fit
dark
in other
malted, maybe
styles.
hoppy.
Right.
But so there's a lot of that. So you have to really know, like, if you want to be looking for a certain style, is it being mashed up with one of their styles in this website? Because I've come across things, it's like a certain commercial example says it's in this style guideline, but it's actually not anymore because things have changed. So use that resource with a grain of salt. Do some checking because, and I say that in reference to taking this test, because one of the things about this test that is that, and they'll tell you it's not a secret, this the commercial example has to be in production. If you name it, it can't be old. So it can't be Akerstein. Right?
RIP.
Damn.
RIP
What if I
possibly.
write,
R
yeah, exactly. What if I write
R.I.P.P. R.I.P. possibly.
acre scene parentheses R.I.P.P.
Perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, what I find useful about the Beer Advocate website is that something like Baltica or Unibrew,
Yes.
those are good catch-all over,
Yes.
like international. But on the Beer Advocate website, like you can click on Baltica and it will take you to a
Exactly.
list of all the beers they make, so you can scroll down through the styles.
Exactly.
And that for
And
me, when I'm going for that third country, it's like, does Baltica make it? And they probably do. And
exactly.
that's in Russia. So
Exactly.
you got it.
That's a
Unibrew
very
in
great point.
Canada.
Yeah,
You got
exactly. When
it.
you need, when you get to that level of needing three countries, Baltica is your, and that's a great point. The Beer Advocate website will organize by brewery. That's a great resource. Use that.
Untappd does as well, but I think
Yeah.
Beer Advocate, well, I'm not a part of Untappd anymore, and you have to, at some point you have to have an account to be
Yeah.
able to see everything. Beer Advocate, you can see it all.
Yeah, exactly. True. You don't have to have an account. But Baltica is a great resource. They make everything, and they're a Russian brewery. Unibrew, fantastic. Other bigger.
Canadian Belgian style. So
Yeah.
like I fucking love Unibrew because like you can get the Belgian commercial example, you can get the American commercial example, which is probably Allagash, and then you have the Canadian example, Unibrew. So you have
Yeah.
Hoegaarden, Allagash White, Blanc de Chambly.
Yeah.
Boom. Three countries. Yeah.
Yeah, and
Out.
that's a great way. You can remember just the beer list from like a few breweries. Like Victory has a big profile. Great Lakes, Left Hand, Russian River, Firestone, Omegon, Allagash, Dogfish. I mean, there's a different ways you can approach this. You don't have to look up, if you're familiar with a brewery too, that's always helpful. When I worked at a beer bar, man, I was so much more familiar with lots of different options than I am today. So that was helpful. Untappd can be pretty good. One of the things that kind of sucks about Untappd is that,
Besides the ownership.
oh yeah, well,
Sorry.
besides that, but anybody, like if a brewery's not quick enough to add their beer when they post it, a random person can just add the beer, which is super annoying because then you got to go do this work to like get it off and merge it. But for the most part, I would think that most of the breweries are pretty on top of it. And because I don't know, as a brewery owner, I don't want that to be wrong. So that's probably a pretty good resource for finding commercial examples. Just, but just know that it does have this user kind of feature.
When you're looking for commercial examples, this is true if you're able to travel, but also, if you're not. So let's say when I was making my list of commercial examples for Master for British styles, I would look at Hogshead website because
Yeah.
Hogshead in Denver is only traditional British styles. They are two style. As Rachel knows, it's one of my favorite places to go, and I will force you to drink cask beer over and over, even if you
Yeah.
don't really like it. But in like when it's time for a dark mild, go to Hogshead. What's the name of their dark mild? Bierstadt Lagerhaus for lagers. Like Rachel said, like with things like Russian River and Firestone Walker, those breweries that have been around for a while, but also the breweries that specialize
Yeah.
in one style of beer. And there aren't that many of them, but Allagash, Hogshead, Bierstadt. KC Beer Company is another good one. Boulevard has made like every style,
Yeah.
not Wee Heavy, but actually they have made Wee
I was gonna
Heavy, but
say, I'm pretty sure they have.
yeah. Like those are all, it's good to identify breweries that kind of specialize in one thing. Also, shameless plug for Pilot. Pilot brews a lot of different beer styles, and
Yes,
you
I
all
have a lot.
have, and they're brewed to style. And so, like, I would also use for American versions, Pilot was on my list. If it was something
Yes.
that you all made, Pilot was on my list because I knew that it was also two style, and I happened to know somebody. If I needed to get a flavor profile, I know
It's
the
a good
owner.
resource.
And those are all completely fine to use on the exam.
Yeah. Quizlet is a resource that sometimes people use, questionable resource, in my opinion. I mean, obviously my flashcards aren't perfect, but it's a flashcard
Right,
app.
mine as well. Yeah.
And so so you can, like, sometimes people use it as a study tool, but you can, like, look up other people's flashcard sets, and take that with a grain of salt. I've come across questions when there are answers for, I'm like, I don't know if that's right.
Yeah. Well,
You
and if you haven't
know?
updated it since the 2021 guidelines or,
Yeah.
whatever, like they may be out of date. It's always
Maybe out of
better
date.
to make your own study materials. You
Yes.
know, like I remember having friends in like law school and stuff who'd be like, "Well, your outlines are really good. Can I just use your outlines?" I'm like,
No.
"You can see them, but the finished product isn't the thing. Doing the work to make the outline is what
Yeah.
the thing is." So I would encourage you, make your own flashcards, make your own outlines. Don't use somebody else's. Don't buy somebody else's.
Yeah,
Because
definitely don't. It's not
that's
gonna
not the
be,
learning experience.
yeah. And it's cheaper to learn it yourself,
Yeah, that's true. And it's
versus
already like,
buying.
yeah, Cicerone is already such an expensive, or can
Yeah.
be an
Yeah.
expensive journey. So, Rachel, what I like on here on your outline that you made
My own
about
outline.
the, yes, your own outline that I'm using. So it's bullshit. It's
That's
not
different.
helpful at all. I
Hey,
learned nothing.
whatever I do under the intellect of False Bottom Girls belongs to False Bottom Girls.
Right. We are one brain. But I really love this question that you put on here.
Yeah.
So, do you want to read it or do you want me to read it?
Sure. Chit.
Yes.
Based on your experience, if you could pick three styles to panic study last minute before taking a test, what would they be?
This is seriously, this is such a good question. I would
I've
say,
been there. I've asked
yes,
myself this
exactly.
question and I've done
As someone who has panic studied,
it.
the first one off the top of my head is British Brown Ale,
Yeah.
because every time I have Samuel Smith Nut Brown Ale, it completely confounds me. If I'm drinking it blind, I'm like,
Yes.
what is this beer? And
Yes.
I've had it
I
so
don't
many
know.
times.
Yes, I totally agree with that. It does not taste what you would think a British brown ale. Yes.
Right, but it's the commercial example.
Yes.
And also, side note, no more Newcastle. Newcastle's brewed in the United States now.
Done with
I
it.
don't exactly trust it in terms of being a commercial example. And then another thing I'll say about British Brown Ale is with the latest updates of the BJCP guidelines, they moved Cigar City Maduro from American Brown Ale to British Brown Ale. I don't know why, but it's now considered, per BJCP, a British brown ale. So I think British brown ale would be one. Belgian blonde, specifically Leffe, is also one that always confounds me. And like when I have it on an exam, because it's, I don't know, it's just like it's the clove flavor, I think, that throws me off. So that's one that I'm always just like, what is this? It's like I'm tasting it for the first time every time I taste it. And then for my last one, I would say Kolsch.
Well, okay, yeah.
And
I
going
can
back
see.
to that, being at Sugar Creek that one time with the study session, I had like just identified Kolsch in a blind tasting. And so I said like every beer was Kolsch. And my husband afterwards was like, "You have to stop calling everything Kolsch." I'm like, well, one of these times I'm going to be right. And I would say if I could pick a fourth or like honorable mention, Irish Extra Stout.
Oh yeah, for
So
sure.
what are your three? If you had to panic study three beers.
I will say that mine are 100% based on experience. I will say that. And they are Fruit Lambic, Dark Mild, and Wee Heavy.
Those are also excellent, especially Fruit Lambic, because that is one
That
of those
will
beers
sneak up on
like,
you. You're
yeah,
like, I'm
but
ready
like
for Lambic.
right, but like in the US, most of what we can find is like Lindeman's, stuff that's been back sweetened. So I never buy it because I'm like, well, that like it's just kind of like Kool-Aid.
Oh. Yeah, and
And
expensive.
it's expensive. And it's, yes, it fits within fruit lambic, but it's back sweetened for an international audience. If you're actually in Belgium and you taste
True.
the fruit lambic, it is very much a lambic first with fruit added. What you can usually get here with like Lindemans, it's fruit beer with a little bit of funk. So I don't drink fruit lambic. Like for that very reason. So if I had, like Cantillon or something, could you imagine having Cantillon on an exam? I would like, I don't know if I would be pissed off or not. You know what I
Depends on
mean?
what you
Because
wrote about it,
you're just
maybe.
like sipping it and yeah, and then afterwards it's like, this was like fucking Iris. Are you kidding me? Like I didn't even pay attention to
There
it.
is no way we would get that on exam. There's no way
No.
anyone's wasting that
Oh my
on
God.
exam candidates.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, no, we'll
Exactly.
just switch this. We'll just switch the style to American Light Lager and give them Miller
Yeah,
Lite. It will be fine.
exactly.
We are
Yeah,
keeping
that would be
this.
like the most expensive exam ever. But yeah, I think fruit lambic is really good. Dark mild is definitely another one because it's you don't find it very often. And yeah, and I think wee heavy is good because like wee heavy, Doppelbock, Belgian double, English barley wine, like those
Just
are
all
all
the styles
really
you're just not
close.
getting that much, and knowing that, oh man, that's good. Like knowing the difference between like double Bock and Belgian double, you think that'd be so easy, but man, do a blind tasting, fuck your
Yeah.
world up.
Belgian dark strong ale and Weizenbock, that's a lot
Woo.
harder than you think it is.
Yeah. Fuck your world up. You think
Yep.
you're good? You're not good. You know
Yeah.
how many times I've been like, I got this. I'm like, I do not have this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's, that's the whole trick to it also is that it seems like when you read about it, oh, this is so black and white. This will be so easy. And then it's, if you're doing like a side by side. So let's say that you have Weizenbock, Belgian dark strong. You have both in front of you. You can taste them side by side, like, okay, this one's different, this one's different. But then if I just put one of those cups in front of you, it's not so easy. And the other, so or I won't say the other thing. The last thing that I will say about commercial examples and studying, learn from your pal Jen's mistakes. I have always taken very copious notes about what I was, what I'm tasting while I'm tasting it. I never put those notes somewhere to be able to come back to. So like I have all of these, I have, notebooks, I have loose leaf paper of all of these times, all of these like blind tasting sessions, and they're great descriptions, but I don't have like a master spreadsheet where when I'm finished and oh, it's Saison DuPont, I'm gonna go type in my Saison DuPont notes so I can see that I'm consistently describing Saison DuPont the same way.
That's a good
So,
idea.
and like I can see that I'm consistently describing West Malt Triple the same way. So then I know if I get white pepper, okay, this is Saison DuPont, or this is Saison, not triple. So I highly, highly, highly recommend that you keep kind of a central database of the beers that you've tried blind and what your notes are, so you can look across and see like what are the general themes that I personally pick up in these beer styles each time. Because I would like go through and start to do another blind tasting and be like, oh, okay, I do get white pepper, but I don't remember. Do I get white pepper in triple or Saison? And if I'd taken the time to aggregate my notes, I would have a much easier time being able to go through and review them to be like, okay, when I get like this dark cherry flavor, this tells me it's an Irish extra stout versus an Irish stout. Because you are going to see like you consistently pick up the same things, especially when you're studying the same commercial examples.
No, it's a very good idea. I think I'm
Yeah,
going to
so
start doing that.
yeah, aggregate your notes somewhere. Because yeah, like once when I decided I should start doing that, I had like 5 years of notes, and like I didn't always write down the exact brand or something. And so I like very quickly got overwhelmed. So just keep all of your notes in one place and then put them, have them live somewhere. And then it's also a good exercise, when you feel like you don't know anything about beer, you can look back at your notes and see how you've improved on your tasting skills.
Well, I think that's great. I
Yeah.
think we did a good job on this episode.
I think if somebody was looking for a
This
commercial example of a beer podcast,
is the one.
So yes, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you for your patience as we took a month off for break. And you can find us on social media at False Bottom Girls on Instagram and Facebook. You can email us falsebottomgirls@gmail.com, and you can visit our website, falsebottomgirls.com.
That's right.
Rachel, give me five different commercial examples from three different countries of German pills.
German pills. All right. You're in luck. We have Spaten pills. We have Left Hand Polestar Pilsner. We have Firestone Walker Prima. No, that's Victory Prima pills. Firestone Walker Pivo pills. We have Tutcher pills. I believe that's Austrian.
I think that's German.
Tutcher? Yeah, you might be right. We have We have, where have I been?
I didn't ask you a very fair one.
No, it's fine. This should be one I can handle fine because
okay.
of my travels. Let's
check. Make it up. Make
no,
it
no.
up. That's what I do.
See, I'm just thinking about where I just was, but everything's like a mass-produced lager. Oh, Devil's Peak Pilsner. It is a South African brewery, and I
hey,
had it.
there you go.
And that would be,
clap, 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 clap,
well, I said
clap,
teacher,
clap,
so
clap,
that
clap,
works.
clap.
And that would be a five.
Excellent
Thank
job.
you. You want to go?
No, I don't have to.
Fantastic.
I already know everything there is to know about beer. I'm a master sisterin, so.
Yeah.
No,
That's what I'm gonna say when I pass too. So don't feel bad. I'll be like, nope,
I'll
I've
try
done
it with the caveat that if I don't do well, I'll just cut it out of the podcast. So
okay,
no.
Sure. Okay. Jen,
yes.
Name five commercial examples from three different countries of Rausch beer.
Like actual like Rauch beer?
Yeah.
Like Beechwood Smoke. Okay.
But what would Cicerone say?
Yes, if you're asking me
Yeah.
about Rauch beer, then it's Beechwood
Beechwood
Smoked,
Smoke.
Märzen Base. Schlenkerla. Dovetail Rauch beer. Bamberg something in Brazil.
Yes.
Spezial,
Yes.
also in Germany. So I've got my three countries. And then Live Oak Rauch beer.
Great. I have no idea if that's correct or not, that last one, but
I don't know about
I
Live
trust
Oak.
you.
Let me see. Maybe I lied about that.
I
But
did
see,
forget
I
that.
sell the sizzle. You believe me.
I did forget that I should know the answer to whatever style.
Yeah, that's true. They do make a Rauch beer. So Live Oak
Fantastic.
is another good one for German styles.
Fantastic.
Live Oak Grodzicki. Live Oak makes it like Lichtenhainer.
Nice. See, there's lots out there.
Bada
They
boom.
don't have to be on the BJCP list. Happy commercial example studying, everybody.
I do remember one time I told one of my friends to feel free to ask me at any time to name commercial examples. And
Yeah.
like, then I was just so rude to her about it. Like, I would get a text, like, I just got out of the shower and it's like, bing, name five commercial examples of Weissbier. And I'd be like, fuck you.
Hey, never
I'm not
mind.
doing that.
Yeah.
This has been False Bottom Girls,
and we make the brewing world go round.